is really your family background,
mm-hmm.
beginning with a little bit about your parents, possibly your grandparents, if they were around at all, and they were important to you in any way and had an influence. In terms of both where they came from, how they settled, wherever they did come to settle, their own educational background, that's your general family history.
Okay, well, my father's family came from Germany, and they came from Pomerania and came over and took up land in an area called Freistadt. It's a little town, a little German settlement. Wisconsin is made up of various settlements from parts of Europe, some Scandinavian, some English. There are Cornish settlements in the lead mining areas and so on. They settled a little town of their own called Freistadt, and it's near Thiensville, it's the outskirts of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. They came over in the 1840s, and the family homesteaded, and there were several brothers that took up farms, and there are several branches of the family. My father's, I don't know just exactly what generation that would be without working it out, but I know it was in the 1840s. Well, my father grew up on this farm, and he remembers it as somewhat of a self-sufficient farm. He remembers his grandmother spinning, and that they had some sheep and so on. It wasn't a large farm. It was probably a 100-acre farm, 80 acres of which were farmable, and the rest of it was probably woodland or something like that. But I remember visiting the farm. The farm had a great fieldstone house with walls about 3 feet thick, and the old homestead farm.
Did they have greenhouses?
It was one of these communal enterprises in building, and I don't know when it went up. It must have gone up in the 19th century, probably in the 1860s or 70s, if I had to make a guess. But there had been a log cabin on that land originally, which was where they started out. And people pointed out the site of it and some ruined logs, but that's all I ever saw. But he was, the family was rather large. I think he had a step-sister, and she had two children who were almost his generation. They were just a little bit younger than he was. He was one of the youngest in the family as well. How many brothers did he have? I can't remember now. But anyway, it was a family of 10 or 12 children. And the older members of the family had aspirations to teaching and the church. They were Lutherans. And several of them did go to college in the family. But he was way at the tag end, and he was one of the younger boys. And he got very unhappy with his life on the farm, and in his teens he left home, and he worked on farms of relatives and people in the neighborhood. Eventually went off and worked for a while in a furniture factory, and then took an examination for being a postal clerk or carrier, and was accepted in that just before the First World War. And I think he dropped out of high school. He never finished high school. And so his schooling must have stopped. I think he left school, in the first year of high school or thereabouts. Or maybe even before he went to high school. But I don't know exactly about that. But he never finished high school. And he never went back to school. In the First World War, he was drafted and spent a small amount of time in France, didn't do any actual fighting, and came back home, and shortly after he came back, he met my mother, and they were married. So that's half the family. Now, most of his relatives stayed in the farm, and most of his brothers and sisters stayed in farming. And as a youngster, I had many cousins and many farms to visit, and so I grew up with a lot of knowledge of dairy farming and small-scale farming, particularly impressed with the struggle in the 1930s when things were really very tough for the small farmers in Wisconsin. So that kind of background information is something I always have carried. I've always been kind of interested in farming enterprises because I had so many country cousins, as it were. But several of his brothers left left the farm, and so the family divided, and since that time, most of them have left the farm. Very few have stayed on in farming. The homestead farm has been sold. The land's now been subdivided. Somebody's made it into a fine country house. And the last time we went by, we took pictures of it from a distance, but that's as close as I got to it. I feel kind of bad about that, but there it is.
Did any of his other brothers pursue their education and go into teaching as they had?
He had a brother that taught in Lutheran High School in Milwaukee, and another brother that started out with some training in college, but I don't think he finished, and I don't think he never either entered teaching or any other. So I think there was only one professional person in the family.
Was it a fairly orthodox family in terms of their Lutheranism?
Well, yeah, I guess you would say that they were Missouri Synod Lutherans, fairly strict. My father revolted and joined the United Lutheran Church of America. This was really a revolt against some of the old Missouri and Wisconsin Synod old Lutheran inflexibility on things like particularly Masonic orders and other orders. I think that's one of the important areas of split, but there are other things. Well, he eventually participated in the revolt of the church from the old order into the new. So, but the family was orthodox in a sense, except his father, I guess, was really excommunicated from the Lutheran Church. It was some affair that I don't entirely understand, but anyway, I guess it was an accusation of some morals charge, and he denied it. And they said unless he would make public confession, he couldn't be admitted to communion and membership in the church, so he never went back. My father tells the story of him on his deathbed. Some of the people that were his accusers came and would plead with him, won't you, you know. And he said, it's too late now. You didn't pay any attention to me all these years. You can go to blazes. So he's a stubborn old man. Anyway, that's the story. I don't know if it's true or not. But so, yeah, he was orthodox in a sense. My father's a religious person. But there's always this aspect of the story as well. So that's that.
What about your mother's
family? Well, my mother's family, both of her parents came from Germany in their teens. And they are they were early 19th century arrivals in the United States. And they came to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, I don't know entirely. I think my mother's family were cigar makers, and I think they came from Hanover. And my grandfather on that side came from an area of Posen, which is now incorporated into Poland. It was just on the ethnic frontier of the old state of Prussia. He was an interesting man. He taught himself music, and his instrument was a concertina, and he had a special concertina designed and made in Europe and sent over here, which is still in the family. And he played in a dance band and did a lot of the arranging for the band. So
did he work as a cigar maker when he came here?
No, he wasn't. That wasn't his background. I don't know what his background really was, but he eventually ended up as a foreman in a woodworking shop, a small woodworking shop in Milwaukee. So he was a skilled craftsman in that sense, and a foreman. My wife's mother suffered most of her life from, I think it was goiter poisoning. She had a great deal of difficulty getting about. Her legs were always in bandages. I remember always seeing her with her legs bandaged and great open sores. And so she was kind of an invalid. So that's that. My mother had two sisters and two brothers. And she was the third of the girls, and then the brothers were both younger. But There was no educational, advanced educational background at all in this family. Though, having settled in Milwaukee, the children all had an opportunity to go through the Milwaukee public schools, and it was a old world view that the sons particularly should go on, the daughters should not. So my mother tells the story of having to plead with her family to go to even 2 years of high school to learn to take a secretarial course. And she was apparently a very bright student, and all of her teachers said, well, you want to go on to school. But she never was able to do this, and she even had to make an agreement with her family that she would pay them a major part of her earnings if they allowed her to go to school for as much as 2 years. And so she had, I guess, a kind of a hard life. Her mother was unable to do much, and the various daughters had to take on many of the family chores and care for the younger boys as they grew up. She has a lot of memories of very, very hard times. Not in any bitter sense, but it was kind of a hard life. Well, she finished her 2 years of high school and got a job in a pattern making shop, and she became the bookkeeper and general correspondence secretary. And my guess is she was very good at it. She's fantastic memory and tremendously skilled in rapid calculation and so on. So she would have done very well, except when she married, why, of course, the idea was you didn't work anymore. At least that was an orthodox view, so she quit her job. My parents had a hard time at the beginning because my father didn't earn very well. He went back and worked at the post office. He was a letter carrier.
Before I ask you how they met, was your mother's family part of that German social tradition of the craftsman at all?
I really don't think that was very strong. I don't know how my grandfather got involved in the woodworking shop and how he became a foreman. I don't know whether there was any background in music, for example, in the family, or why he got interested in it. But it was all self-taught. He simply learned and worked on his own, and developed his own way of transcribing music and lots of other things. So he was an interesting gentleman. I knew them very well because they owned a very large flat, a large house, with two. It was made really meant for two families, but a very large families because they had four or five bedrooms and three or four living rooms and a kitchen. It was one of these enormous places. And there were two of these, and the one downstairs was cut into two pieces and made into two apartments. And my parents lived there for a good many years. So I knew my wife's parents very well, and I was the first grandchild, and I was, I guess, the center of much attention. So I had, in that sense, a very rich childhood, I guess. And my sisters, I have two sisters, and they came along 6 and 8 years after I was born, so I was all by myself for quite a while.
You get all that attention.
Yeah, really.
How did your parents meet?
Well, I understand my father was attending a band concert in Mitchell Park, which is on the south side of Milwaukee, and saw my mother and found some way to meet, not her, but to meet her father and strike up conversation and eventually to meet her. So apparently it was one of these things of love at first sight. He decided this was the girl for him, and he pursued her. So
How old were you when you
met? He was about... He was about 26, and she was about 5 years younger. He was 21. Now they must have met, too. Well, not a great deal before. I don't think he knew her before the war, before his military service.
And immediately on marriage, as was traditional, she quit her job.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And how long after the marriage were you born?
Year and a half. Not tremendous time after one. I guess I had one peculiar characteristic. I never crawled. I propelled myself on the seat of my pants, and one of our children did that too. And have you ever seen kids get around that way? They shuffle along on their seat instead of crawling. Well, so I said, I've never gone on my hands and knees in my life. Not even as a...
Well, it's a nice precedent.
Yeah. But one of our kids did that too, and propelled himself that way.
Now, what were your parents' feelings about education? What sort of...
Well, I think they felt that they'd been deprived and that their children should not be. And so there was always a notion. I never remember a time when it didn't seem to me that I would probably go on to university if I could do it. And they expected their children to do well in school. I don't know whether my father was a good or a bad student, but my mother was just an absolute crackerjack, and she was very, very good. So she expected this of all the kids, and I think we got that encouragement, almost expectation that we would do well in school from her.
When were you born, kid?
1920.
And it was in Milwaukee.
Right.
Do you recall before you started going to school being read to or having books and looking at books and familiarity with printed material and all that?
Well, we didn't have a lot of books in the house. There were some children's books. And the story, I don't remember this, but the story my parents tell is that I very quickly picked up things that were read to me and would recite them at the drop of a hat. And so people would like to push the trigger and hear me recite and things. So my parents probably read me things from, but I don't remember this. I can't testify to it. And parents have a way of exaggerating these stories, so I don't know what to make of it. But no, there weren't a lot of books in the house. There was not a great deal of reading in that sense. But my parents did have they got in one of the early Victrolas, and we had a small record collection. And fairly early, my grandparents got a radio almost as early as one was available. But my parents were a long time getting a radio. We experienced the communal radio, as it were, in the Depression years up in the flat of her parents.
What was the neighborhood like that you were growing up?
Well, I don't. It was a working class neighborhood. There were a few teachers and I guess you'd call professional people scattered around, but it was basically a working class neighborhood. It was near the Menominee Valley, which is a central valley that separates the north and south side of Milwaukee. I don't know if you know Milwaukee, Wisconsin. But it was quite right near the Menominee Valley and the great railroad yards. It was a very dirty neighborhood in the sense there was a lot of soot and dirt in the air. I remember that about it. And it was a fairly monotonous kind of a neighborhood with these two-story houses, usually one family up and one down, lining both sides of the street and street after street of that. My neighborhood was pretty homogeneous in that sense. Yeah, it was predominantly German in this area, I would say.
Did your grandparents speak English very fluently? Was it primary language still German?
No, they used English all the time. They would speak German only when they didn't want us to understand or to tell a joke. Or my father would speak German when he talked with his country relatives who maintained German as a language, but I think I don't recall that they ever really conversed in German. Mm. But you know, this is something you're not very conscious of, and I can't be absolutely sure that's true, because I remember when I came back from overseas in the Second World War and called my parents, it struck me that my father had a German accent, and I never really was conscious of that before. My mother, on the other hand, did not. Now, they spoke a very different language, really, in many ways, and this, I was never really terribly conscious of that. But I still don't think that there was much in the way of communication in German. I think they'd all learned English, and that they expected to use English, and they didn't. There's no effort to perpetuate the language. There's no effort to teach language to the children. They thought the language was something you left behind. You became Americanized in that sense. And there was no real effort to maintain the German language. My father used to say on occasion, it's a shame you didn't learn German, but they made no effort to teach it, and he really didn't feel all that bad about it. So I what little German I ever knew, I learned in school, which I learned after I went to the university, the teacher's college in Milwaukee. But
so you actually started your own schooling before any of your siblings were born, didn't you?
Yeah, I guess so. I probably would have entered kindergarten, first grade, before my sisters were born. I don't remember all that much. I do remember that I was always, you know, a much older brother, and I was always making things and doing things for them, and they always seemed to me as little children. I was surprised when they eventually grew up and became adults and weren't a lot younger than I was.
But well, did you have responsibility of taking care of them, or?
Oh, no.
And there were
two. I used to enjoy making things for them and doing things for them, and but aside from that, you know, no responsibilities.
Do you recall your first school experience?
Not really very much. I went to the school was about 4 or 5 blocks from where we lived. It was called Scott Street School in Milwaukee. I remember that the kindergarten was one of these big round rooms that was built in the corner of the room. But really very little of my attendance here at that elementary school. I remember I had scarlet fever and was out of school for a while. And I remember that when I got over that, the world looked very strange to me. It must have affected my eyesight or something in a way that I wasn't completely understood. The world had suddenly taken on different dimensions. Well, I can't describe that in great detail, but...
Were you a reader by the time you went to school?
Were you already reading? I don't remember. I really don't think so. I was never really a very precocious, or omnivorous reader. That was just not part of it. We left that part of the world. Now, had we stayed in that part of the world, things might have gone rather differently. But we moved away. Oh, right in the middle of the Depression. Must have been about 1930 or 31. And went out to the outskirts, and this was a kind of a rough and tumble part of the world. And there were a lot of empty spaces, and most of our energy was taken in romping in the woods and in the fields and playing, baseball and football and other things of that sort. It was anything but an environment where you got together and talked about things or read books, and my parents were not, did not have a lot of books, and they're not a lot of reading.
What prompted their move away from the parental home?
Well, get away from the parental home. My mother tended to feel that she was relied on a little too much to take care of her own mother, who, as I said, was an invalid and needed a lot of extra care, and I think she felt that she was being exploited, or my father did. So they moved away. Shortly after we moved away, they decided to build a house built for us. And immediately after signing the contract to have that done, my father's salary was cut rather badly. And I remember things being very, very difficult to manage for a long period of years.
So,
well, my father's income just wasn't enough to provide very, very much beyond the absolute necessities, and a very large chunk of it was taken in these payments for the house.
You recall being hungry during
Oh, no. It was never anything like that. It's just I got the impression that money was hard to come by, you know, whether we had people living around us who were on relief and so on, and I knew that they were worse off than we were. So, no, my father had worked throughout the period, and everybody, I suppose, thought he was very fortunate. And I know my country cousins thought we were wealthy. And in terms of disposable income, that's probably true. I used to think they had a great life out on the farm, but no, we weren't. We weren't, in that sense, poor. But I, the notion that there would be money saved, that there would be a planned educational experience or fund, none of that was thought about. None of that was provided for. Probably could have been provided for. So when time came to go to college, I looked around for where I could go without any essential costs, and that's how I happened to go to the Teachers College in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
When do you think you first the idea of going to college became more concrete and became a real expectation for you?
I don't know. That's hard to say. I had a high school teacher by the name of Charles Wedemeyer, who was an English teacher, and took a special interest in me for some reason. Got me involved in working on the high school newspaper. I went to, incidentally, a high school called Pulaski High School, about two-thirds of which was Polish. We were on the south side of Milwaukee. Milwaukee was predominantly Polish on the south side. We were a minority within a Polish community. I went to Pulaski High School, and predominantly Polish, and many of the kids came from homes where Polish was still spoken, and the language was most commonly taught language in school. So it was kind of a general background. Anyway, this man took an interest in me, and I think he was the one that rather put specific notions of going to school. Also, my mother's family, all of the daughters became secretaries and so on. They all got sufficient high school training to do that much, and had a certain ambition for their families. Both the boys finished high school, and ultimately the youngest of the boys went on and became a Lutheran minister. It was a long time deciding to do this, and I think it was partly because he couldn't do heavy physical work, and he had to find some other employment, but I guess he somehow felt a calling and eventually went off to and became a Lutheran minister. And he was, of course, the pride of my grandfather. That was the most wonderful thing in the world. So he also talked about my going to school and offered, as a matter of fact, to take me into his home and send me to a local school. He was in Winona, Minnesota at the time. I think there was some sort of a college there. Mm. Later on, I went to Fargo, North Dakota, and there was a Moorhead Teachers College, which was across the river in Minnesota. So he was interested. But I think even if that did not happen, I'd have gone on to school. Probably it was Wedemeyer, the person I met. I wanted to be an English teacher because he was an English teacher. And I went off to the Teachers College in Milwaukee with that sort of in mind. You didn't have any choice, by the way. When you went to a Teachers College, you had to be a school teacher. Theoretically, you weren't supposed to be there unless that's what you wanted to do. Most of the students would end up as school teachers. But
your assumption in going was that you were going to
It was the least expensive place in town. Either I'd do that or go to University of Wisconsin maintained an extension program, which you could start out in, and then would transfer to Madison, and of course Marquette University, and these were the only opportunities in town. Incidentally, almost nobody in my high school graduating class went to college. I don't know how big it was, but it was a class of 300 or 400, and I think if there were 10 people went to college, that was about it.
So it was predominantly working class college.
Working class, very strongly. And very small numbers.
What were your social relationships like in high school?
Well, I had a couple fairly good friends, and we used to play a lot of football together, and we had a ping pong table, and we used to come over a lot. So, and I had a close friend across the street who went to a different high school because he was outside of the city limits, and we were relatively right on the border. I was in, mainly my friends were associated with the newspaper, or I was in the class play and so on, but it was a fairly limited group of people. A couple of girls I pursued without much success. A few close friends, but that was about it.
Did most of them go into college?
Two of my friends went to teacher's college with me. They didn't survive the first year. They didn't really have, I think they had a kind of a marginal commitment. Now, I remember being tremendously disappointed that some of the girls that I was interested in couldn't be talked into going to college. They surely would have done well had they done so, but they didn't have any luck. So when I went off to college, I was kind of, these two fellows went off with me, and I think one of the reasons they didn't succeed, and I almost failed a couple of my courses. So we used to sit around playing cards most of the time and fooling around and didn't focus very much on what we were doing. I did enter an experimental program, though, at college, and that was probably an interesting thing. This teacher's college decided to model a general education program on the University of Chicago program, where they had they divided all knowledge into four large components. One in the humanities, one in the physical sciences, one in the biological sciences, and one in the social sciences. Well, this program was offered, and it proved to be a fateful thing, because that's where I met my wife. But it was offered, and it didn't require that you give it all your time, only a little bit more than half your time, so you could take some additional courses.
So at the same time, you could be pursuing your credentials.
That's right. You took two of these large areas as your basic GE commitment, and that was a little bit more than half your time. And then you had the other half, you could do anything. So I could take math and languages and other things. So I became involved in this experimental program, and I probably began to read widely for the first time when I went to college. And it was partly these GE courses that opened the whole broad of new areas to me that I never heard of before, never knew about before, and certainly were not known to my parents or family or any of the people that I knew in my relationship, because I wasn't, by the time my uncle was trying to interest me to go to school, he was away, and I saw him only when he visited in the summertime and whatnot.
What did you think motivated you to go into the experimental program?
I really don't know. I got a letter, and I talked to the man that ran it, and maybe was flattered in the sense of being selected for an experimental program. Really, it wasn't really an honors program. It was sort of a cross-section that the rest of the children. I don't know. I didn't know very much, and they called me in and gave me a sales pitch, and I guess I bought it. I really can't say there's any great motivation. I never saw any idea, but I really liked the program. It had certain features to it that could be very dangerous. The entire grade in the course rested upon the final, the comprehensive at the end. And so if you became involved in that and didn't keep up on your work, you were ultimately in a very bad spot. Now, fortunately, I liked the subject matter. I really enjoyed the courses. I still remember the basic book in the humanities course was Harry Elmer Barnes's Intellectual and Cultural History of the Western World. I think that's the name of it, or Intellectual and Social History of the Western World. I've often tried to buy the book since because I still remember it. So that was that. And then there was Gardner's Art Through the Ages. And then we had a big, fat book of readings and some other things. But I still remember that package. And the second course I had must have been the social science group. I didn't find that as interesting, but I must have been in one of the natural science. I think I was in the biological science group. But I liked the science program. That that interested me. So I just happened to luck out. I happened to strike something that I like to do.
Were these very small classes in the experimental table?
Yeah, cost about 40, 45 in a section.
And what were the other class sizes in the regular?
Well, they were smaller by and large. You know, the English classes and the foreign language classes, math classes, and that stuff were smaller. So these weren't particularly small classes. Maybe I'm exaggerating. The rooms seemed to be full. I don't know how big those rooms are anymore. I guess assume they're sort of a standard 40-size classroom, but maybe they weren't that big.
Did you develop any special relationships with any of the instructors in that program?
No, not really. There's nobody in that program that I took as sort of a model. I'm still trying to be a major in English. I took German. And I didn't do all that well at it, but this was my introduction to the German language insofar as I hadn't heard my country cousin speaking and so on. And I also took advanced math. I'd done 4 years of math in high school. Well, there were various reasons. I don't know why. I always wanted to be on the top of things in high school, and I really was very shocked when I didn't end up on the top of things in college, too. I think it was my mother who said that that's where you belong, and I just assumed that's where you belong. And learning was fairly easy for me. One of the real problems was the enormous burden of reading. I had not been a heavy reader. Wedemeyer had gotten me to reading poetry and literature to some degree, and I did write a lot of poetry and experiment with it when I was in high school and play around with it. So I thought I was interested in being an English major. Well, two things wrong with it. I couldn't spell. My writing was very clumsy, actually, compared to people that had more of a background of polish and literature. So the people that looked at me didn't think I was going to turn out to be an English major, and eventually I gave it up and became a history major instead. But I started out in that direction anyway. I don't know why it is that I'm sure there's something about spelling that relates to the peculiar mental attributes that you have. Right now I don't have all that much difficulty spelling. I run into a word now and then I can't spell. I had a terrible time, and several of my kids have had the same problem. And, you know, we pummel at them and say this is disgraceful, but they don't learn. And I got lectures, and I got suggestions, and I got ways of learning, and all sorts of help and encouragement. My mother was flabbergasted because she always remembered words the way they were, and she couldn't imagine why anybody couldn't do this. But I had some flaw in my mental makeup, and it may be that. It may be that some people, you know, kind of reverse things, and it may be that I just never saw things in sequence. I got the whole word, and I understood it in reading, but things were transposed somehow. Well, anyway, but whatever it was probably that to keep me from becoming an English teacher.
Yeah, you said that you picked this particular college
primarily
because of the family's finances.
It was in town. It was cost. It was the only thing I could afford to go to. If I didn't go anywhere else, I'd have a scholarship or a job. I did sit for a few scholarships, but not successfully, as it turned out. My family didn't really have any idea of how to enter into college. You know, there was no. I probably didn't do all the logical things. I probably, if I'd have done a little prepping and taken a lot of exams, I might be able to have won some sort of a fellowship or scholarship. Though they weren't as numerous then as I think they've become since.
And
anyway,
since there
were
so few high school graduates that went to college, it wasn't a high school that really could counsel students in terms of how you...
I'm sure they were turning out people to take jobs. Anyway, it was in the Depression years. I graduated in 1938, and things were not at that time terribly encouraging. So the idea of just going out and getting a job was not that easy. As I said, I don't know when the idea of going to college entered my mind, but I always remember that's what I intended to do, and I can't remember a time I didn't intend to do that.
Well,
What I wanted to do as a result of going to college was a lot less clear. Maybe be a teacher. And I think probably it was Wedemeyer that put that in my mind.
Were your parents able to help you find your friends in terms of buying books, or did you have to earn money during college too?
No, they paid all my out-of-pocket expenses, even though the teacher's college furnished your books.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You checked them out, textbooks. So there were really very few costs. It was a very inexpensive place. It was costly in time. It took about an hour to hour and a half to get there by various surface transport. I transferred several times, and we lived on one diagonally opposite the teacher's college, which was up near the Shorewood side of and the east side, and we were on the southwest side. So you had to go diagonally across Milwaukee, and that was a long haul. I spent an awful lot of time on the bus, and I found it very difficult to read on the bus. Yeah. I could memorize German words and vocabulary, but so that, it was a time-consuming adventure, going back and forth. But that was the main cost of going. Out-of-pocket costs were not great. My parents never raised any question. They thought it was great. And when my sisters were of that age, why? They'd also had a brother who'd gone to school, and so then. Matter of fact, I'd done well enough in high school and everywhere that they used to hear about this. You know, they were the younger kids that came along, so they used to sometimes be a little unhappy with the fact they had a brother. But anyway, they just assumed they'd go to school, too.
And, I'm sure.
You know, somebody told her that she should try to be a teacher. And I think maybe that notion kind of percolated. But if there's any idea, it was of that sort.
And at what point was it that you finally decided that you weren't going to make it in English and switch to history?
Oh, I don't know. There was a history prof at Teachers College who was surely a very curious man. His name was, he was a member of our family, one of the branches that had gone off, and so he had the same name. I hadn't pronounced it the same way, but he didn't recognize me or I. He has an uncle or a relative, except in a very distant family. But he was, I found him kind of fascinating and interesting. I think that was part of it. And it also was, I found it an easier thing to do. Eventually I got a little tired of analyzing literature. And, you know, this approach to, maybe at some point I would have lost interest in it, even if there wouldn't have been other problems. Somewhere along in the third year, I got a job at the post office as a postal clerk, temporary, and began working at night. And I began saving money to go on to graduate school. That's what I was aiming to do. Also thinking of getting married. So once I began working at night, I found it very difficult to do all these things, and I've always felt very strongly that students that have to work with heavy schedules miss out on not really going to college. I mean, going to college is almost a full-time job if you really want to remain involved and intellectually alive. Of course, politically, this was a time when all the arguments were going on, should we abandon the Neutrality Act, to what degree was Roosevelt committing us to a war in Europe. My father was a sort of a socialist. Not really very theoretically so, but
was he a Victor Berger follower?
He was Berger, and Dan Hoehn was mayor of Milwaukee, who was a socialist, and he was a Hoehn admirer, and he was a Follett admirer. He also voted for who was it that ran right after the war?
Debs.
Yeah. So he was sort of that, you know, not very theoretically so, but for a long time, we took the Milwaukee Leader, which was a, I guess, a workers' party paper, if there was one. It wasn't a very good paper. The Milwaukee Journal was a far better paper. But he never liked the Journal because the Journal was anti-La Follette. He was a La Follette man. So I remember, you know, those kinds of things rather distinctly. I wrote an essay and won a little prize, arguing that there should be a referendum before the nation was taken into a foreign war. My father was very anti-war, and we grew up with feeling that the First World War was a terrible, mm-hmm. terrible mistake, terrible thing that had happened, for two reasons. It had beaten down the Germans, and there was a sort of pro-German feeling in the family. And secondly, the war itself was bad. They had war books around and things, and I used to, I remember looking at them, and things of that sort. But it was a strongly anti-